Thanks so much for listening to this bonus podcast. I'm Susie Larson, host of Middays. And throughout the month of December, we as a team, in fact, quite a few of our listeners, were working our way through the Gospel of Luke, reading a chapter a day. Well, today I'm looking at chapter 3, where John the Baptist prepares the way for Jesus. John went from place to place on both sides of the Jordan River, Scripture says, preaching that people should be baptized to show that they'd repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. Isaiah spoke of John when he said, "He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him. The valleys will be filled, the mountains and the hills will be made level, the curves will be straightened, and the rough places made smooth. Then all people will see the salvation from God." God wants us to make room in our hearts so that we can lay hold of more of him. And when John the Baptist was saying, prepare the way, he wasn't saying, clean up your life before you come to Jesus, because we can't do that on our own. But what he is saying is, be prepared for change. In fact, if you notice a little bit later in the chapter, you know, the crowds ask, what should we do? Well, John says, if you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with the hungry. And then the corrupt tax collectors came to be baptized, and they said, teacher, what should we do? Well, he has a different answer for them. Collect no more taxes than the government requires. What should we do? Asked some soldiers. Once again, he had a different answer for them. Don't extort money or make false accusations, and be content with your pay. Everyone is expecting Messiah to come soon, and they were eager to know whether John might even be the Messiah. He answered their questions, and he says, you know, I baptize you with water, but someone's coming who's greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to be his slave or untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. I was thinking about this idea. How do we prepare the way for the Lord? He was speaking to unbelievers who are coming to Christ. But Scripture, if you look at corresponding passages of Scripture, really this is a word for all of us, whether you've come to Christ and you are walking with him faithfully, or you've not yet given your life to Christ. Because there are always new places in our soul that God wants to get at, right? And the word prepare, it means to make the necessary preparations. Another aspect or translation says this, to prepare the minds of men and women to give the Messiah a fit reception and to secure his blessings. You know, whenever we ask for more from God, he asks for more from us. So to make a straight path, the truth of the matter is there are obstacles in your life that are hindrances to your growth. And God is saying, will you clear the way? Because I want you to have a receptive heart so that you can do and be everything I intended you to do and be. It's not that you clean yourself up when you've blown it. You go running into the throne of grace when you've blown it. This is really a heart condition. Are you willing to make the necessary changes that Jesus will make in your life? Hebrews 12 says this. Listen to this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses to this life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Do you hear that? So we make way for him, and we trust him, and we humble ourselves, and we admit, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Well, he also perfects our faith. That is a process. And I would submit that we grow in much the same way that we come to Christ for the first time, through the low door of humility. We come to the edges of ourself, and we go, okay, here's a new place that you're calling me to run the race. Here's a new place in my life that I want to be teachable and humble. I want to give you access to put your finger on stuff in my life that needs to go. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and then perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people so that you won't become weary and give up. After all, you've not yet given your lives in your struggle against sin. And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, my child, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. Another translation is, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Now, there's one way, making light of it is to shrug it off like it's nothing. Like if he puts his finger on something in your life and you're like, I don't want to listen to that. And then losing heart is the other extreme, where you fall apart like you're nothing. Don't shrug it off like it's nothing, and don't lose heart like you're nothing. Why? Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he does that for us as his children. It proves that we are his children. As you endure this divine discipline, it says in Hebrews 12, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Who ever heard of a child who's never disciplined by his father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all his children, it means you're illegitimate, not really one of his children at all. Since we respected our earthly fathers who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the Father of our spirits and live forever? For our earthly father disciplined us for a few years, doing the best they knew how. But God's discipline is always good for us, so that we might share in his holiness. No discipline is enjoyable while it's happening. It's painful. But afterward, there'll be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained by it. So listen to this. So take a new grip with your tired hands, strengthen your weak knees, mark out a straight path for your feet, so that those who are weak and lame will not fall, but become strong. We get these crooked ways in us, and sometimes we live with them for too long. And whenever God is about to do a new thing through you, he wants to do a new thing in you. And so often, we as Christians resist the correction of the Lord. I don't know if it's our pride, maybe it is, our fear of change, a fear of letting go of things we love. But anytime God asks us to make a trade, it's always for more of him, more life, more peace, more of the virtues of heaven, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. God always, always has more for us. So how do you make way for the Lord? How do you prepare a way for him? You don't clean yourself up. That's God's work. That's Jesus' work, his Spirit in you. But what you do is prepare your heart. You become humble, teachable. You ask God. As Psalm 139 says, search me, O God, know my heart, test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in my life that offends you and lead me in your everlasting way. That's the thing, is his way is the everlasting way. His way is what transforms us from strength to strength, glory to glory, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. So make room for him this season. Prepare a way by preparing your heart. What he has for you is better than whatever it is you're holding on to. You can trust him. He's a good God. And when you just think of that final thought that John had said, that, you know, someone is coming, is so great, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. Sometimes we get so chummy with Jesus, we forget that he's a most holy God sitting at the right hand of the Father. And when he comes in all of his glory, every knee will bow. I would say every knee will buckle, because the radiance of his glory will be too much for us to take. We're going to all go down to our knees and shout, he is the King. He is the Lord. So let's bow before him now. Let's stay humble before him now. Let's make room and prepare a way for him today. Whatever you're holding on to, it's not worth what he has for you. So let go of the old, lay hold of the new thing that Jesus wants to do for you, because the trade will always be worth it. He's leading you in the everlasting way. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Susie Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, you can subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Thanks for listening to Middays with Susie Larson.